Right, welcome back to Talking About Coaching. Here we are again. I'm with Yannick and Nikki. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Yannick.
Hey, what's up?
Cool. So today we have a question that's come in. I run out of people to talk to about coaching. How can I create more conversations that may lead into paying clients? Yeah, really good question. I think, a question that has come up many times for me, and I've heard this question probably at least 100 times.
Yeah, and I think it might be helpful to create some of the context around that, because there's many ways to find clients to work with. And yeah, we've talked about some of that in earlier episodes of the podcast. But I think what this one seems to speak to is the Chandlerian school, if we wanted Steve Chandler's kind of approach of creating clients through creating conversations. And that one of the exercises there is that, you know, you create conversations wherever you can find conversations. Mm. And it can happen in the gym or in the pub or in the supermarket or catching up with friends, colleagues, acquaintances, you know, make a list of people that you know, make a list of people that you might like to coach, make a list of people who might know people that you would like to coach, and then create as many conversations as you can. So I think what this question is asking is, I ran out of people to talk to, you know, so how else can I create conversations? We don't know where this person is and what they have done already, but maybe we can take the question as, what are ways in which I can create conversations? Because in those conversations, if it's a good conversation, it might lead to a coaching conversation, which might lead to a consultation or a paying client.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing that comes up for me is, right, the first part of the question, I run out of people to talk to about coaching. There's two things there, right? First of all, I don't think you need to talk about coaching. Huh. I know it sounds maybe like, you know, okay, what else am I going to talk about? You know, and the second thing is running out of people. I think there's what, like 7 billion people in the world, right? And with social media, we have access to, I mean, we, you know, it's incredible the access that we have to people. You have communities of, if you're a parent, you can find communities of parents on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So I think it's that, like, there's an underlying, you know, idea there that there are limited number of people. And I can relate to that, because when I started, I used to think, well, let me look at my own network. Who do I know? And then after a while, I'm like, well, I've probably like gone through most of them. And, you know, half of them are definitely not interested in coaching. And the other half, I've talked about it. I've talked about it and they're also not interested.
How do you talk to them about it? If we take like 3 steps back and somebody might not have done that, how do you approach people? As you say, it might not be helpful to talk about coaching because you want to talk about, you know, whatever they want to talk about, you know, ideally about something where they want to go or who they want to be or something that is they want to move towards or away from in their life. You know, so I think it's helpful to not talk about coaching with people, but just generally talk to people. But how do you create those conversations, Sivet?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think it's normal, by the way, that we talk about coaching because we get excited about this thing. You know, you finish your qualification and you've experienced some coaching, you're like, wow, this is incredible. I need to tell people about it, right? But then it just feels like, you know, it's something you're selling. And, you know, I have this idea that everyone loves to buy, but people don't like to be sold to, right? And if we do actually what we're good at, so getting present with people, being curious, and just finding out what people are up to, finding out what they want in life, right? What's stopping them from creating that? And of course, this is not the only way and the right way, but this is just a great way to just be present with someone, give them your full attention. That in itself is really valuable because we live in a world where even couples are not fully present anymore with each other. And there's always a phone there, right? So that genuine, like that full presence there, that in itself will, you know, that in itself fulfills a need that most people have, right? That intimacy, that, and then that curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. But not being, right? And you can see this in the question. Again, there's no judgment there because I was very much like that. Like, I want paying clients, but there's almost an intention. There's like the question indicates that the thinking is already five steps ahead.
The thinking is navigating towards signing up a client, right?
Yeah,
rather
exactly.
than
and, you know,
towards a conversation.
If you're constantly thinking like, where do I find the husband or where do I find the wife? You know, you're thinking already about getting married and you haven't even met the person yet, right? Mm-hmm. It just will creep out most people. It is I don't know who it was. I think it was Chandler in France, and in the first date already saying like, I love you or something. And you know, the other person will run away, right? Mm-hmm. But it's actually just slowing down and being genuinely interested in the other person, right?
And I think that's such an important point, is that it starts with a genuine curiosity to be connected to people, to be in conversation with people. And if you're not genuinely interested in having conversations, then it's going to be difficult to enter coaching conversations, you know, and maybe there's some work to do. If maybe you're just too focused on signing up the client that you forget about how much you love conversations. But once we detach ourselves to some degree, or for at least a certain amount of time, from could this be a coaching client or not, and just enjoy the conversation, you know, it's very powerful. When I talk to somebody, I don't generally think about, I'm not too attached to them becoming a client. First and foremost, I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
And when we, for example, just catch up with somebody that you're curious about what they're doing at the moment, there's so many people that you will have met in your life that you could probably reach out to and say, hey, you know, I'm not sure if you remember me, but we met 5 years ago at this thing. And, you know, I thought about you. I wondered what you're up to. Would you like a catch up? Then maybe 4 out of 5 say no, but maybe 4 out of 5 don't respond. You know? But if you left some sort of impression, maybe they remember you as well. And maybe they do have a conversation with you. And if you're really curious about what's going on for them, they will probably be curious back and say, hey, so what are you doing now? And then naturally you would tell them that you're a coach and that you're super inspired by the practice and, you know, whatever else you might tell them. It doesn't mean you need to pitch them. You just tell them what you're into. And I think if you tell them what you're into with a degree of genuine excitement about the practice of coaching, they will probably ask you more questions. Mm-hmm. And if you answer that in a way that they resonate with, they will probably be curious to know more about it.
I'm kind of just, oh yeah, go ahead.
Go on.
No, I'm kind of changing. I'm not changing subject, but I was just thinking, I kind of have like a really good example of everything that's just been said, of like a real life kind of situation that I have been in a few times and how that's played out and kind of, yeah, it kind of represents what you guys have just both talked about. So, you know, recently, because I'm going traveling, I was looking for someone to cover my room. So, and I've lived in a flat for 10 years, so I've done lots of viewings with people repeatedly. And it's interesting because I guess, you know, when people come into a flat and you're recruiting a new housemate, you approach them with a lot of curiosity directed at getting to know that person who you might potentially live with or might get your housemates to live with. So, you know, I find that those meetings generally, like they're quite short, but you ask a lot of questions. You feel like you're getting to know the other person quite well. And often as they leave, they tend to ask like, oh, and what do you do? And I say, oh, I do coaching. And they're like, oh my God, you know, that's something I'd actually be really interested. So like they kind of, yeah, then kind of none of the conversation was aimed at that because this was not a client recruiting situation. It was a looking for a housemate, which lends itself well to asking lots of questions about the other person to see if you'd like them to live with you. But that builds the kind of, you know, that intimacy and that curiosity that's there, not at all for the purpose of a client, but that has happened to me numerous times that people have then said, as a result of the bond kind of and the interest in them taken, that they have that interest in coaching. So, you know, the other thing is, when it comes up, it tends to be responded quite positively too.
Mm. So now you're homeless with lots of clients, yeah?
basically, yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah.
I always find it helpful that there is a small strategic element I think we can build into those conversations when, you know, we have a really good conversation. And I think a lot of coaches, in my experience, they have the conversation, and then they're not inviting them into a different kind of conversation, or they're not mentioning that they're a coach. They just had a really good conversation, and that's it. And that could be a beautiful experience. But if we just add that catch up, for example, when, you know, you've been curious, they've been curious, you had a really good conversation, there's trust, you know, to just say, hey, by the way, do you know what I do now? You know, do you know anybody, including yourself, that might be interested in this? You know, I have a few slots open at the moment. You know, I could take on some more clients. Or, for example, a client I was working with recently, he went to a meditation retreat. And then after the meditation retreat, he started chatting with this guy. And, you know, they had a really, really good conversation. There was a lot of potential for a coaching conversation. And some of the conversation already had elements of coaching. And so the only thing he did differently later on was saying, hey, you know, I feel it's a bit awkward saying this actually, but like, have you considered working with a coach? Because I think it would really help you, you know, given what you've just told me. There's so much opening, and I think a coaching conversation could really, really help you. I happen to be a coach. If you wanted to explore any of that, you know, I'm happy to have another conversation with you, or continue the conversation, or deepen then the conversation. You know, so you could literally have those conversations anywhere. You need to meet people in some way, make space to connect with people. And it can be via social media, you know, it can be via a website. It can be going to network events. It can be going to any other event. It can be a local book club. It can be asking people for a digital coffee to catch up, lunches, dinners, you know, anything is a potential to create a conversation. Google AdWords is a start of a conversation in some way, you know. So everything, if you look at it and from the perspective of creating conversations, can be used as creating conversations. Some are, you reach a lot of people with a very impersonal way. Sometimes you reach only one person in a very deep personal way. But all of these are opportunities to create conversations. And I think Carolyn Freya-Jones said that at some point, Siva, she were kindly connecting me with her at some point, that if you don't have community, create community. You know, start a meetup, start a book club, be the person who initiates bringing people together. You know, that can be online, digital, can be in any format or way, as long as it starts conversations in some way.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I think long term, if someone is in for the long ride, like want to be a coach, professional coach for 10, 20 years, I think creating a community is really valuable. Some, it might feel like a bit overwhelming initially and they don't know how to do it. But it's the good news is there are communities everywhere. You know, for example, I'm interested, you know, in so many, I'm interested in swimming and cycling, and there's swimming communities, there's cycling clubs. Right. I mean, I joined a club for yoga for men, and they're all professional men that come to yoga. So it's finding things that you enjoy doing, and you find people there. You know, it's very easy to start a conversation because you have like a common, you know, denominator. Right. And whatever it is, whether it's for someone's church or whether it's a club, you know, but you connect with people that have the same interest. Right. And so there are communities everywhere around these things. There are groups for dentists, professional dentist associations, right? So, and I think, you know, one other thing that I want to touch on is this idea that, you know, this, and this is from my personal experience, that the more I focus on having paying clients, right, the more kind of like the more harder it is. And when I focus on just serving people and helping people, right, I'll get a lot of paying clients. And obviously it doesn't happen magically by just giving and giving. There needs to be obviously like a moment where you, after a session or two sessions, where you say like, hey, would you like to know how we can work together? Or, you know, where you share like, hey, this is what I do for a living. And, you know, would you like to talk about how we can continue doing this? Right. But actually just focusing a lot on it, it makes it harder. And it's the same with money. Right. Well, the more we focus on it, right, the more we focus on it, usually the harder it is. And it's the energy there around that. You know, I don't want to go too deep into that, but usually when we focus on something, right, we focus so much, especially if we need money. I mean, if you need money, you should probably just get a job or a part-time job. Right. So because once that need is taken care of, then you can actually focus on really, you know, helping people, and then build the coaching side up.
Mm-hmm. How else have you guys created conversations in your time?
Well, one way is by just putting it out there, and a game that I
putting what out there?
Just, you know, so a game. This is something that I learned from Rich Litvin, something that I've done myself, and I got a lot of other coaches to play with. Is this, he calls it this 100 powerful coaching conversations challenge or game, right? And it's a great way actually to get coaches away from thinking around like, oh, I need paying clients and there's no one to talk to, where they just say like, okay, I'm going to just give away 100 conversations. So in 90 days, you have to just coach 100 different people.
Huh. Right? I like and it.
The beautiful thing is, right, every time you do this, your energy shifts towards like just having 100 powerful coaching conversations. So you just do your best. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, as a result of that, often at least 5-10 people end up becoming a client. Because mm-hmm. people will come to that end of the session and say, wow, this was really useful. Tell me more, like, how can I work with you?
Yeah, you basically have 100 consultations, but you're framing them yeah. as free sessions, and you're very well prepared to just end the conversation, not pitch anything, not tell them anything. And if that's it and they want to leave, they had a good experience, that's okay. And if they really enjoyed it, they're probably going to ask you.
Mm. Yeah, and even if they don't ask you, they might tell someone else about it. Mm-hmm. Right, but it's a way also to just, as a coach, you grow a lot through that, and but it's also a way to just give people an experience.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Did you say it's 100 conversation in 90 days?
Yeah, and the truth is, it's not about the number. The number sounds.
It's really not crazy. About the number. Yeah.
How am I going to fit 100 people in? But usually, like the moment you go towards that, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. might end up at 50 or 60.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. You completely get out of away from your initial energy around like, oh, I don't know, where can I find people? Because what we're looking at is to sell the coaching, right? But actually, when we offer something that's helpful and say, hey, I could coach you on relationships, on confidence, on this, right? You just basically mention everything that people need, right? People will put their hand up. And often people do it just as a favor mm-hmm. to help you out, mm-hmm. right? To help you kind of complete this challenge.
And the cool thing is that you don't, if you were to try and have 100 consultations in 90 days or 30 in 30, you know, it's much, much more difficult because of the way that you're framing it, because it seems like you're selling something because it's a consultation. It's a taster session, you know, with a look to sign up a client. And when you frame it in a way that I'm giving away, you know, as a gift, 30 conversations. In a way, there are also consultations because I think in a good consultation, somebody will probably experience a little bit of coaching with you. You know, they will get an experience of what it's like to sit down and talk to you. You know, I think there's different ways. I'm hesitating because there's different ways of running consultations. Some people have, you know, 15, 20 minutes just literally to check chemistry and no actual coaching takes place. That's okay too. I think powerful consultations or first encounters are where you're already having a really good conversation, but you're not looking to give 30 consultations away. You know, you're literally packaging it that you don't lose value because you're saying, this is my gift to the world, or this is just something I do. I had a client who said, I'm going to talk to 1,000 people about meaning and purpose. You know, he loved talking about meaning and purpose. He's a fantastic, energetic guy, like really, really good. And he just said, this is something that I'm doing. And then he talked to a lot of people on LinkedIn and said, here's something I'm doing. Would you like to do that with me? You know, and a lot of people said yes. And some of them surely become clients.
Mm. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. All right. I think there's plenty of discussion, plenty useful there. And again, like usually, we would love to hear from you guys. Like, where do you, what do you do if you run out of people to talk to? And how do you create more conversations that lead to paying clients?
I'm sure there's so many creative ways to create conversations. I'm looking forward to some of the response from you guys.
All right. Have fun with that. And we look forward to hearing from you. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your commitment to learning and growing as a coach. Just a few things before you go. First of all, we're doing this for you, so if there's anything you'd like us to talk about, do send us a question. Secondly, we're not doing this for profit, so we rely on your support to help us reach as many coaches as we can. So if you can send this episode to a friend or tell a fellow coach about what we're doing here, maybe you can subscribe or leave us a review, or even support us on Patreon. That would be amazing. And lastly, you can find us across all major platforms. So whether you like to watch or you like to listen or you like to download episodes and listen to it in your car while you're driving through somewhere with no internet, you can do so too. And that's it from us. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.